favor give, no, not one. No brighter star has ever shined, no better hope for all mankind, no higher mind, no, not one. No one has ever known this kind of love you show.
Choir, what a great reminder. There's no greater love. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You braved the rain. And hopefully you don't have a lot of flooding going on in your house, or maybe that's where some people are today, is digging their or pumping their house out from the water. But I'm glad you're here this morning, and I'm looking forward. This is one of my favorite parables. In fact, my life verse comes from the thoughts this morning, and so I'm excited for the message this morning. But I want to say welcome to you. If you have your bulletin, if you'll look at, with me at the announcements. First of all, I want to say a special thank you to Ray Berry. He's probably out in the hallway somewhere. for driving the group down to the museum and the Ark. And if Ray were in here, we'd clap for him, but he's not in here, so, well, you can clap for him anyway, I guess. And also, I want to say thank you. If you noticed when you came in through the gym, there's a couple hoops that have been put up in there, and they're mechanically put in electric so that they can go up and down, and that will help with our upward program this year. And so I want to say thank you to all those who helped to get those up. And we're going to have another work day, and we need some big, strong, or not so strong, but willing hands to help us. We have two more to put up, and then we have to change out the hoops that are in there already on the main goals. So if you'd be willing to help with that, just keep your ears open, and we'll be announcing those times to get that done. We are taking bids right now to have the church parking lot plowed. So if you do that or know someone who does that'd like to put a bid in, this is the time to get that in. Upward basketball, the registrations are available online. And so if you have the opportunity to put a yard sign in your yard and you don't have one, there are some left at the Welcome Center. So if you'd like to take one of those yard signs, put it in your yard, that helps us advertise for the Upward Basketball. And our Trunk or Treat is coming up on October 27th. Right now we have 26 cars signed up, and that's excellent, but we'd like to have more, okay? Because when you're a kid, more candy is better, right? So so if you haven't signed up to have your car there, it's from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and then inside we have lots of activities for the kids to do, and hopefully it'll be a nice, beautiful night, and we'll just have a great time as a church family. Also, next Saturday, now, the weather report today for next Saturday says 74 degrees and mostly sunny, okay? And so next Saturday, the 21st, from 4 to 6 p.m., if you'd like to go out to Harvest Moon Acres Corn Maze and Fun Park, there's a lot of fun things to do there. We're going to have a little contest. I'm going to have a special prize for whoever can get through the corn maze the quickest. And so those of you who go on, you know, a day early and learn the routes, I guess you can do that. That's on you. But it's going to be a fun time. To come out, the cost is $7 per person, and children 2 and under are free, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Then also, there's the annual Church Parade of Lights going down to Das Essenhaus in Shipshawana for the light parade and then eating there. The details are in the bulletin if you'd like to take part in that. That's always a great time as well. And from the Christmas series that I'll be preaching, I need some pictures of you and your family in maybe in Christmas sweaters or, just a nice picture maybe you took on a Christmas morning with everybody's hair looking, you know, not quite so perfect as usual. But we need some pictures to help with that series. So if you, I know some of you have some great pictures. So here's what I would ask. You can either give us the give us the picture itself, or take a picture of your picture and send it to us, okay? And then we'll do it with it what we need to, but it's going to be a fun series, and if you help provide those things, it'll just make it all that much better. All right, for the rest of the announcements, make sure that you read your bulletin. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you that even though there's a lot of rain, that you use the rain to provide for much of what we need to live. And as we've had seasons of drought and seasons of dry, now we have a season of rain. And I thank you that in the seasons of drought and in the seasons of rain, that you are a God who always provides. And when you provide in abundance, and when you provide in a little, I thank you always for all of your provision. And Lord, today as we are going to spend some time singing about our great God, I thank you for the song that the choir sang, that there will never be a greater love than what our Lord Jesus gave for us in giving himself. And I thank you, Lord, that as we sing every song that we sing about your greatness, we don't sing it because you're great because we chose you. We sing it because you are great because that's just who you are. And so, Lord, we love you this morning. We want your name to be praised. We want our lips to be able to frame words and express thoughts that will lift you up and show you how much we love you. So use the service for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with Our God is Greater. aren't you glad we serve a great God this morning? You know, a lot of times we try and put God in a box, and we kind of figure, okay, this is who God is, and we kind of want to pull him out of the box when we need him type thing, you know. But we serve a great God, and he's great all the time, even when we take him for granted.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Time is in his hands, beginning at the end, beginning at the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Name above all. How great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art, how great.
Day, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your greatness. We thank you that we don't serve some little wimpy God, but Father, in everything that you do, even in your forgiveness of us, that's, you do it in a great way. Lord, we just pray for the pastor this morning as he brings the message. We just pray you pour your spirit out on him and give him a special portion of your grace. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we just thank you for who you are and how great you are. Lord, just bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Only my family knows this, but I wore this shirt last Sunday. The reason that only they know this is because when we were 10 minutes from arriving here last Sunday, driving down the road, we had a half of a tree fall on our car. Shattered the windshield, caused $12,000 worth of damage, totaled the vehicle, and we stepped out of it without a scratch. Amen. While we are thankful to God for his allowing us to step out of that car safely, we pray in earnest for our dear friends whose son was in a terrible ATV accident 2 days before that, and they are laying him to rest tomorrow. He was a 34-year-old son of theirs, married, two little girls, 4 and 1, and a baby on the way. So we ask you to pray for the Albright family in Otsego, please. This song, though we have sad news, is a song about hope. I'm the man with all I've ever wanted, all the toys and playing games. I'm the one who pours your coffee, corner booth each Saturday. I am your daughter's favorite teacher. I'm the leader of the band. I sit behind you on the bleachers. I am every man. I'm the coach of every winning team. And still a loser in my mind. I am the soldier at the airport, facing giants one more time. I am the woman shamed and haunted by the cry of unborn life. Every broken man, nervous child, lonely wife. Is there hope for every man? A solid place where we can stand in this dry and weary land. Is there hope for every man? Is there love that never dies? Is there peace in troubled times? Someone help me understand. Is there hope for every man? Seems there's just so many roads to travel, hard to know where they will lead. My life is scarred, my dreams unraveled. Now I'm scared to take the lead. If I could find someone to follow, who feels my pain and knows the way. The uncertainty of my tomorrow, the guilt and pain of yesterday. Is there hope for every man? A solid place where we can stand in this dry and weary land. Is there hope for every man? Is there love that never dies? Is there peace in troubled times? Someone help me understand. Is there hope for every man? Every day there are people around us who have this question on their mind. And even though they may never ask it, people we work with, we go to school with, people we see at the store, we can help by showing love, serving others, by holding up the name of Jesus Christ when the culture around us is shouting, God doesn't care. Or we may be thinking, why did he let this happen? God calls us to not give up. There is hope for every man, a solid place where we can stand in this dry and weary land. There is hope for every man. There is love that never dies. There is peace in troubled times. Will we help them understand? Jesus is hope for every man. Is there hope for every man? A solid place where we can stand in this dry and weary land. There is hope for every man. There is love that never dies. There is peace in troubled times. Will we help them understand? Jesus is hope for every man. In 1 Peter 3:15, we are called to always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in us. And in the book of Job, he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Amen.
Thank you. That's what a great reminder, right? Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 7. And as we turn to Mark chapter 7, I need a little bit of help. And so, can I have the three teenage young men in the second row come on up here? And Nate, could you help me out for a minute? And Caleb, could you help me out? And Adam, if you could help me out. And I need one more person. Cooper, could you help me out here? Thanks. All right, come on up here. Come on up here. So I'm going to give you an Old Testament story. This is something that actually happened. It's not just a story, it's history. Line up in order of height. We'll see how talented they are. This might take the entire message. All right, so as they're trying to figure just close. All right, that's close enough. All right. So in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, God is looking for a new king of Israel. And in looking for the new king of Israel, he tells Samuel the prophet to go to Jesse's house. And Jesse has seven sons, okay? And so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow. Okay. So, Eli, I just need you to just go hang out over there, if you don't mind. Thanks. All right. So, Samuel goes and he says to Jesse, bring me your sons. And God is choosing a king. And so Jesse lays out his sons. And so Samuel goes to the oldest. And right away, the first thought that Samuel has is, look at that guy. Kingly material. Right there. I mean, look at those biceps. I mean, he just looks like a king, doesn't he? And Samuel walks over, and Samuel is fully prepared to pull out the horn filled with oil and dump it on his head and say, hail the king. And God says, whoa, 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 Samuel. Slow your roll, man. God didn't say that, but he says, the Lord does not see what man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. And then God says, I have refused him. So Samuel goes to the next son. Okay. Still a good eye. He's my brother. I got to be careful here. And Samuel looks and he says, look, another great option. I mean, he's got his own business. He can grow facial hair. You know? I mean, and God says, no, I've refused him. And so what Samuel does is he goes to each and every one of the sons. As he gets down the line, they get younger. Well, we got an old man here behind the two younger guys. And finally, we get to the last, and Samuel says, Lord, is it this one, the sixth son? And God says, no. And Samuel's scratching his head, and he's saying, wait a minute. You told me to go to Jesse's house that I would find the next king of Israel. I've looked at all his sons, and none of them are the choice. And Samuel says to Jesse, do you have any other kids? Jesse goes, yeah, but he's out with the sheep. Sorry, Eli. He's out with the sheep. Meaning, he was too young to be home attending to the important things. He was the one that, go chase the sheep, make sure they're okay. And he's young. The way that it's phrased in the Bible, he's probably between 12 and 14 years of age. And so he calls for David to come from the sheep. And God says, look, he's not as tall as Nate, as handsome as Caleb. He's got to wear glasses. None of the other ones did. He's shorter than the rest of them. But see, God doesn't see what man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. All right? Remember that as we go to the rest of the service. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Let's give them a hand. So now let's read in Mark chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said to them, 'Listen to me, every one of you, and understand.'" Now, when Jesus shares this parable, he says, "I want all of you to listen to me. I want all of you to understand." And you know what? They're not going to understand. But they're going to hear something loud and clear that's going to literally shake the religious foundations of Israel for the next few centuries. In fact, I think it still reverberates to us today. Verse 15. "There is nothing from without a man that entering into him that can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he tells them, he gives them this parable. It's not what goes into a person that defiles them, it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. And he says, "Listen to it and understand." So when they get away from all the people, the disciples come to him and they say, "We don't understand." Now remember, when he says, when they say, "We don't understand," these are the ones who are going to carry the gospel into the world, right? So the fact that they don't understand this, maybe today we have the same thing messed up. Maybe today we don't understand it like we should. And maybe today, as a whole, religious people all around the world are missing the point of this parable. Verse 17. "And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he says to them, 'Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that what things that come from without and enter into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes into the draught, purging all meat." You flush it down the toilet. "And he said, 'That which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man.'" Let's pray here together. Lord God, I pray that you would bless your word. Help us to understand this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verses 1 through 5 in Mark chapter 7, Jesus' disciples were eating without washing their hands. Yeah, I mean, that's like one of the seven deadly sins, right? Or something like that. Eating without washing your hands. Now, how many of you as a parent said to your kids, "Did you wash your hands before they ate?" I mean, anybody ever do that? Yeah, we do it. Even still, you know. They'll come in, they'll have, you know, who knows what that color on their hand is. It's weirdness, you know. It's like a purple, it might be toxic, you know. And they're ready to grab a hamburger and french fries and eat them. And it's like, "Whoa, did you wash your hands?" Well, this is exactly what happens with Jesus' disciples. They must have been a whole bunch of slobs, right? They come in from wandering around the city, and they walk into this house, and they're ready to eat, and they pick up their food, and they just start eating. And the Pharisees are like, "Oh my goodness, Jesus, do you know what they just did? They ate without washing their hands. They are unclean! Unclean!" And Jesus is looking at him going, "Oh my goodness, really? That's what you're so concerned about?" And then in verses 6 through 13, Jesus said, he responds to them getting after his disciples for saying that the disciples are unclean because they didn't wash their hands. Jesus says, you know what, I'll tell you what makes you unclean. You have this law that you've created called Korban. And in this law, you dishonor your parents. So let me explain to you what Korban is. It's a tradition that was set up in between the time that Israel was carried away into captivity into Babylon, into the Medes and Persians, and then when they came back to Israel, when they got back to Israel, and then they rebuilt the temple with Ezra rebuilding the temple, Nehemiah helping rebuild the city. During that time, they created this rule called Korban. So you have these parents that are getting elderly, and you know that they're going to suck your finances dry. And you really don't want your money going toward taking care of mom and dad. You'd rather have it for yourself later in life. And so they would create this rule called Korban, where they would make a commitment to the temple that everything I own that I don't use for myself, I dedicate toward the temple. Now, did you get that phrasing? Everything that I own that I don't use for myself, I dedicate to the temple. And so when mom and dad would come to them, or a caretaker that was taking care of mom and dad, and say, hey, they need some help financially, sorry, I've gifted everything I own to the temple. I can't help mom and dad. But yet they could still go out and buy a new ox. They could put a new roof on their house. They could add on a room to their house. They could go buy a new field because they were using it for themselves. And the temple was in on this. The scribes, the Pharisees, and chief priests, they were all in on this. And so what the person would do is they would pay a slight fee at the front end. And then on the back end, when mom and dad died and there was no need to have Korban anymore, they would pay another fee. And so the temple was taking some of the, they did get some of the money, right? And what it did, it enabled the people not to honor their father and their mother. Think about the Ten Commandments with me. One of the Ten Commandments is, honor your father and your mother. And your days will be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. So they got around that rule by creating Korban. And Jesus is looking at him. He's going, you're worried about the disciples who didn't wash their hands before they ate. And you've got this rule called Korban where you are disobeying one of the Ten Commandments. And you found a reason to do it and you call it a spiritual reason. Can you see why Jesus had trouble with the Pharisees? So then Jesus shares this parable. It's not what comes from outside and you eat or you bring into your body that defiles a person. It's what comes out of the heart. That is what defiles a person. Now, with the two things that had just taken place, you would think when they went into the house, the disciples would be like, yeah, Jesus, you got them good. Thank you for calling them out on their sin and relieving us of having forgotten to wash our hands. But instead, they don't get it. Here's why the disciples didn't get it. They had bought into the system that the outward was the most important. Now, remember the story that we just acted out for you from 1 Samuel 16. That's Old Testament. That's something that every single one of the disciples and every single one of the Pharisees, they would have known that story by heart. They would know that story backward and forward. They would have enacted it as children at plays in their synagogue. It's not the outward that matters. It's the heart. But you see, this is who we are as people. We like it when we can have the outward conformed a certain way so everybody can look at us and go, they've got it all together, right? We were in Wisconsin. Rachel and I lived there when we were first married. And the church there, they did some really neat things, the church that we went to. the men, when they prayed, they would all be on their knees when they prayed. It was a great example, great sign of humility. But one of the things is that people that went to church there, a lot of them were farmers. And so they come in from working in their field. And I remember one day, I forgot his name, Jankowski or Jankowiak, or he's a really, really great guy. He was a farmer. He came in and he was wearing his bib overalls. And he did smell a little bit stinky because he had to go take care of the cows in the morning, and he had a little problem. So he came to church, and he wasn't dressed in the normal suit and tie that he usually was. And I'll never forget two men pulling him aside, talking to him, and him leaving. And later on, I found out that the reason he left was he didn't look like he was ready to be in church. You know what? He'd been out with the cows, I'm sure. It had been a long morning, a hard morning. Just the fact that he came showed that his heart was in the right place. But they were more concerned with the outward appearance. Because whether we want to acknowledge it or not, we as people, because we're fallen individuals, we're just like the Pharisees. We like to be seen a certain way, and as long as we're seen that way, we think everything is good. Jesus destroys that notion here. Here's what Jesus says. He uses this word defile. It's not what comes into a person that defiles them. It's what comes out of the heart that defiles them. Well, this word defile, it means to pollute or make unclean. So when we're defiled, we're polluted, we're made unclean, okay? So when you fail to wash your hands, that does not defile you. By the way, that wasn't even the law of God. There were cleanliness things in the law of God, in the civil code of conduct, not in the moral code. That was added in by man. So here's what they did. They took a law of man and put it up above a law of God that says, honor your father and your mother. And Jesus says, you're not polluted by failing to wash your hands. Here's what Jesus said. Finding a way around God's laws defiles a person. When you're finding ways around God's laws, that's what defiles you. Korban defiled them in their heart because their heart was wicked. What makes us unclean is not what we put into our bodies. It's what comes out of the heart. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says this, the heart is deceitful above all things. We don't like to think of our hearts that way. What do we usually say about somebody? They have a good heart, right? Somebody will do something bad, and you'd be like, oh, we know that they did that, but they have a good heart. Okay, I hate to be a buzzkill. No, I don't. I kind of like it. But let me tell you something about humanity. Humanity is not good. We are not good. We're just victims of our circumstance. No, that's not the truth. The truth is, our heart is deceitful. And you know who the first person that's deceived by our hearts? You know who that is? It's you. It's me. We deceive ourselves first in our hearts. And then we deceive those around us. Our heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? My heart is so desperately bad, I don't even know the depths of depravity that will come out. And we are all in the same boat. I was going to read Romans 3. I would encourage you to do this. Read Romans chapter 3 and read verses 10 through 15. I mean, it describes the depravity of the human heart. Man's laws focus on the outward appearance. The outward actions are what people always want about. That's what we want to control. But God's interest is the heart. So I'm going to give you three destructive philosophies, and I think these are in your bulletin. Three destructive philosophies. Number one, the first destructive philosophy, do's and don'ts. Now, are there things that God says to do? Yes. Are there things God says don't do? Yes. But if that's what you're worried about, if that's how you're going to judge your spirituality, you're judging the wrong thing. Because a list of do's and don'ts can be manipulated by my bad heart. And a list of do's and don'ts will be manipulated by your bad heart. So don't make a list of do's and don'ts and think that this is my Christianity, this is my spirituality. The second thing, a destructive philosophy, liberties. Here people say, I'm saved from my sin, I can do whatever I want. Okay, on Wednesday nights, we're studying the book of Romans. And if you come on a Wednesday night, you will understand this very clearly. That is not at all what God teaches. God does not teach that at all. Because when we're saved, yes, I am forgiven from all the penalty of my sin. Let's think about last week's parable. Even though we're forgiven for all of our sin, what we sow into the earth, we will reap in heaven. And so to concentrate and say, these are the liberties I have as a Christian. I have the right to do this, and I have the right to do that. And when I go speak at camps, especially when I speak to teenagers at camps, one of the first things that kids will do is they'll come to me afterward and they'll say, I was thinking about this, and I do this, and the Bible doesn't say I can't do this, so it's okay for me to do this, right? And it doesn't matter what the this is. If they come to me and say, I have the right to do this, don't I? You know what my answer always is? No. You know what liberty you have in Christ? You have the right to do right. And before Christ, you never had that right before. Now you have it. And so much of Christianity, and it's because of people that are like the Pharisees, honestly, that people that come up with these philosophies of liberties, that's how they're born. Because people are like the Pharisees, and they work their way around God's laws, and they come up with all these legalisms that are not God's laws, but, you know, wash your hands. If you don't wash your hands, you're not godly. If you don't wear a tie to church, you're not godly. You know, if your hair touches your ears, you're not godly. Nate never has to worry about that one. He's, like, the most godly person here. And, you see, we think of all these things where all these laws, these external things that have been created and say, this is the way that you're godly, and you know what? By those rules of do's and don'ts, a whole reaction to that, this whole philosophy of, well, I have the liberty to do what I want because I'm saved. That's not true. You don't have the liberty to do what you want. You have the liberty to do what God wants. You have the liberty to do what the Holy Spirit leads. That's where your liberty is. And you step outside of what God wants or what the Holy Spirit leads, you're not in liberty anymore. You're in bondage. You're in sin. So come on Wednesday nights and you'll learn more about that from the book of Romans. But that's a destructive philosophy, to just think about your liberties. The third thing is religion. I think religion is the worst thing in the world. Religion leads people to bomb innocent people. Religion leads people to spew the most hurtful and hateful things that you've ever heard anybody say. Religion leads people to war. Think of almost every war that's been fought. You know where it almost always starts? With religion. Did Jesus say, take up a sword? No, what did Jesus say? Take up your cross. And if anybody had any power ever to destroy a kingdom, it was Jesus. And instead, he let that kingdom put him to death, so he could obtain salvation for you and my soul. Religion is a convenient excuse to do either what I want or what another person tells me God wants, rather than finding out for myself what God wants. And fact, if you want to know what the Bible says about religion, pure religion, undefiled, is to visit the fatherless in their affliction and the widow in their distress. That's what true religion is. So in your bulletin, I have a blank there. The only things that matter are heart matters. The only things that matter are heart matters. In Matthew 12:34, it says this. Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." The great thing about what Jesus does when he teaches is he's not telling you, obtain this, do this. He teaches in a way where he says, who you are will be seen by what you do. And he's not telling you, go judge everybody else by this. He's telling you, look at your own heart and judge yourself. A good man brings forth good things. Goes right with the parables, the other parables that he taught before this, right? The parable of the sower and the seed and the different soils. The good soil produces good fruit. Bad soil, no fruit. And now, this is a little bit different. Someone who produces good out of their life, they do it through God who is in them. Through this Holy Spirit, through Jesus, the root that provides the nourishment to do the good things. But a good man will produce good things. An evil man will produce evil things. He doesn't tell the evil man, stop doing the evil things. No. He wants you to become good. Now, wait a minute. My heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. I don't even know how bad my heart is. How then can I be good? Here's the great thing about Christianity. This is not a religious thing at all. This is a very relational thing. Here's what Jesus does. He says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will gain his life will lose it. Whoever will gain his life or lose his life for my sake shall keep it. So here's what Jesus wants from you. He wants you to surrender your life to him. And he will make you good. You don't make yourself good. Here's what he does. He clothes you in his righteousness. He puts his spirit inside of you to enable you to do right. And so, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have the capabilities to do the right things. You don't have the abilities. You'll do some moral things, but you won't do anything to please God. But when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, we have this awesome promise. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, Jesus said this, "For out of the heart proceed evil things, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." And it goes on and on and on. Have any of you ever gone through the drive-thru and you order a Diet Coke and they put it in this cup and they hand it to you? You don't know if it's Diet Coke or regular Coke, right? Just by looking at it, you can't even tell if it's Dr. Pepper. It could be iced tea. And you wouldn't know. When do you know? It's when you take the sip, all right? Here's your 21st century parable to explain this. I can have a bottle, and I can put any label on the bottle that I want. I could put Heinz ketchup. I could put mustard. I could say the inside is the Jell-O puff cream that's the marshmallow cream. Oh, that stuff is good. I could say that inside there's chocolate syrup. I could say inside there's caramel syrup. And you know what? Just in a container that has a label on it, the label does not necessarily dictate what's in the container. Especially if you're at a person's house who grew up during the Depression like my grandparents. It will say whipped cream. It'll be in the freezer. It'll be all excited. And you'll open it up. Yeah, it'll be like soup or a vegetable. And you just, and you're like, and you're just so devastated because it wasn't what the label said. Because what is inside demonstrates the truth. What is inside of you, no matter what label you've put on yourself, what is inside of you is the real you. And do you know who can answer that? You and God. I can't answer that for you. I've met people that think that they can. I can't answer that for you. And so here's the great thought this morning. Jesus taught this, and it's so much better. If I could, I would put the 150 ways to be a great Christian up on the wall, and you do these and you're going to be a great Christian. If I could, I would do that. And we would memorize those, and that's what we would work towards. But that's not how it works, because that's all going to be on the outside. There's only one thing that matters. It's what's in your heart. And so this morning, the encouragement to you, from the inside out, you can please God. From the inside out, you can know that your God is pleased. And if you've been looking from the outside in this morning, God has such a better way to live. He wants you to live from the inside out. Let's pray together. Lord God, if there's anyone here that's never trusted you, your desire, your design is to save them. And I pray that right now, God, that they would hear your voice, your spirit whispering to them to say, come to me. Deny yourself. Lay down your life. Let me pick your life up. And Lord Jesus, you will live it so much better for them, through them. Lord, I pray for those this morning who, it's so easy for all of us to get caught up into the ways of this world, the thinking of this world that says the outside matters. God, you care about what's in the heart. So Lord, for those who know you, who love you, who do their best to live for you, I pray they'd be encouraged this morning, because on the outside, they're not perfect. And that's okay. Because on the inside, God, that's what you're looking at. I thank you that David, with all of the mistakes he made, with all of the sins that you wrote in your word for us to look at, he was still the man who was after your own heart, because you knew what was on the inside. And so, God, I just pray that each one of us, that we'd be challenged, we'd be encouraged, and that we would have a real desire to allow the inside, the true depth of Jesus Christ in our lives, to work its way out to the outside. So as we close out the service, Lord, we just dedicate this song, this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If you would like to talk to me about trusting Christ, I'll be standing here at the front. But let's remember what the Lord has taught us this morning.
A thousand times I failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, Your glory goes beyond all fame. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out. Soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out.
And if you go to a small group tonight, you're going to take what's been preached here this morning, and it goes to a whole new level. It'll go to a whole new level. So I want to encourage you to be part of a small group here tonight. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you that you change us, and that when you change us from the inside out. Because we clean ourselves up on the outside so often, we're able to stop doing something for a little bit of time. But Lord, really, when the change comes from the inside out, it does last forever. And I thank you, God, that when you change us, you help us to be what you want us to be. Not what we want to be, not what others want us to be, but Lord, but what you want us to be. And And Lord, if any of us have things that are working their way up from the inside to the outside that are not what you want, God, we ask for strength right now in this moment to overcome those things. That, Lord, you would give us the victory over the things that hold us down. Because, Lord, you do not want us to be held captive by our sin anymore. But, Lord, you want to give us liberty to do right, to live beyond the bondage and hold of sin. And so, Lord, to you we bring praise and glory. I thank you that you can do exceedingly, abundantly, above whatever we could ask or think. So to you be glory and honor and power and dominion, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Live for him.